We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Skinner, nice touch for Eichel. Looking for Olofsson instead of the shot. Creeping in, Eichel, one timer and scores! The power is back on. The power play in the Sabres. Back in the game, now 2-1. Eichel, nice pass along the line. Rips the line and hammers it. Is living in front of the net, number 23, ties the game at 2. We'll send it back down for Eichel behind the net. In front, scores! Jeff Skinner! Yeah, they're hungry, all right. 45 seconds in, and for the first time tonight, the Sabres have the lead. Now finding their open ice for Rasmus Ristolainen. Takes the shot, rebound, it's there, they bang away! Stay perfect at home.
And sometimes you need stars to do what stars got to do and put 4 points up on the board to take away that 2-0 lead. Instigators Andrew and Craig Rave here after a huge win last night on home ice on a rare back-to-back against a Western Conference team. Not back-to-back, but home and home, I should say. But down 2-0, Riv. Jack Eichel comes out. 4 points puts, is it cliche to say puts the team on his back? And, you know, like the old heroic, he put the team on his back. But let's be honest. I mean, you know, the power play got going, blistering slap shot, 4 points, big night.
Well, he was in on all goals. First one on the power play, the big one-timer. He had a beautiful setup when he was behind the net and fed Jeff Skinner right at the start of the third period. And then obviously in the overtime, I mean, I was completely dumbfounded watching this team in overtime. They controlled the puck the entire time. And it's just really interesting to me how they go about doing it. It's not about playing just in the offensive zone and cycling. If they don't like what they're seeing, they take that puck right back out of the zone. They pull those San Jose Sharks away from their net, and they start all over and they work with speed. And I'll tell you what was amazing about overtime too was how many different players were on the overtime. You know, obviously, Joakim Harju was out there, Rasmus Dahlin, Rasmus Ristolainen, Jack, Sam, Skinner, Sheary, Mittelstadt, Johansson. I mean, there were so many players that got a look out there. It was very impressive. Very impressive night by this team.
Yeah, we'll get into the game, and you know, we have some fun stuff. Jeremy Roenick not going to join us today. He's doing the game in Tampa Bay, so he's traveling. He's going to join us tomorrow, so we'll get to find out what he loves to do in Tampa Bay. But he's doing the Pittsburgh-Tampa game, so he can't be with us. But Dan Dunleavy, the man who got to call the game last night, he'll join us at 11 o'clock. So and at 10:30, we'll talk about 10 things that we think we've learned through the first 10 games here with the Buffalo Sabres, the number one team in the league right now. When you turn and look, and everywhere you look right now, or if you talk, or if you're watching around the NHL, there's one person in particular getting a lot of love from this organization, probably around the hockey world, Greg Wyshynski had an article about him. Paul Hamilton was talking about Ralph Krueger this morning. Ralph Krueger was on the air this morning with Howard and Jeremy, as he always is on Wednesday. We've had the pleasure of talking with him. Certainly an unknown coming into the season. All the hype, all the, I guess you want to say, conversations about culture and attitude and all of that stuff. And I didn't really know what kind of stock to put into it. I really didn't know when you've seen the team play over the last few years. You know, and you don't want to point fingers at players, coaches, management, or anything, but I just think it's unbelievable how one man has come in, and I truly believe that this is the circumstance. And he would say that it's not just me. You know, I have a great supporting cast. And one man has come in and single-handedly changed the mindset of this team and turned a bunch of young, talented players who had struggled for a long time into believers, into guys that had confidence and guys that trusted what they were, you know, set out to do, and you know, that they're not just thrown on a line without any rhyme or reason. Like, you know, there's a calculated method behind, you know, what this man is doing, whether it's with the lines or whether it's with, you know, the approach to wins and losses and mistakes and everything. So the word culture, you know, it's a word, you know, it's tossed around all the time. It's tossed around all the time. And Riv, you've been on really good teams. I've had the luxury of playing on three really good teams, you know, in my 6 years in the NHL. And, you know, I can tell you that it's not a buzzword, and it's not something that you walk in and you say, hey, this is our culture and this is what we're going to do. I don't believe that.
Yeah, there's a lot more. The teams that win have a lot more in common, not only on the ice, but off the ice. I think it's really important. It's, you know, when you talk about culture and all that, you know, building that within your locker room, it's not just about playing on the ice, not just about practicing every day. It's not just about playing games. There's a lot more to it. And it seems like, you know, when listening to Ralph Krueger this morning talked to Howard and Jeremy on,
and listen, you love listening to this guy speak.
I mean, every time
Riv comes,
he's
in,
captivating. The word to describe him is he's very captivating. He's very calm. He's you want to listen to him more and more and more. And I think when you look at the players on our team, you know, and watching these Sabres players, you can see almost feel a calmness. You feel that they are students to Ralph Krueger. And, you know, Ralph Krueger said this morning that this team is harmonizing off the ice. You know, obviously,
who uses that word, harmonizing?
You know, getting to know one another. You know, there's areas of their game that they know that they need to get better at, but there's that dialogue and discussion continuously trying to talk it out. And, you know, obviously when things go bad, and there's been very bad periods for the Sabres, I don't think that you're getting a man that's walking into that room screaming and yelling and belittling anybody. He's going in with a voice that these players want to listen to, and they want to do well for themselves, but also for Ralph Krueger. They truly want to go to bat for this man. And I don't play for him. I haven't been in a locker room with him. I'm a fan listening to what he has to say, but I'm also a player that's played a long time in this league. I would love to play for this
man. And all those years, I'm not kidding when I say this, how many coaches have you ever heard use the word harmonizing? It's like I believe that these players are coming closer together. I mean, in believing that they're winning. I mean, you see it in how they play. You see it. We talked the other day about they actually have consistent lines. And for something as simple as a line like Larson's line, they enjoy playing together. They enjoy going out there with their tasks and their responsibilities and taking pride in it. I said the other night, I did the broadcast with Brian Duff after the San Jose game, and I said that I was envious of these players that they get the opportunity to play for a guy like this, a guy that listens, a guy that will listen to the players. I mean, you see him last night communicating with them on the bench. Ralph Krueger's getting a lot of praise for, you know, his 10-game stint here, and I ask you this question: who's benefiting the most from it? which player or who in general is benefiting the most from Ralph Krueger since he's come here? Is there anyone in particular?
I think there's when you could go around the locker room and start to pick out individual player after an individual player. You know, you have a Jack Eichel who I think is, we all know Jack Eichel's skill set. He is an elite player in the National Hockey League. That being said, I think that he has the ability to talk to Ralph Krueger, this man who's very captivating, he's very calming, he's just a very smart individual, and I think when you're around people like that, things rub off, and I think Jack is in a great position to be able to speak with this man all the time and pick his brains.
But I don't think it's just Jack.
Well,
and I think that's well, I believe we've remember the open door. Hey, my door's always open, but yeah. The door's not really open. We said this here a long time ago. We were joking about it. I'm like, you know, the old cliche. Hey, you know, my door's always open, but is it really? I believe in this particular case that it is. I truly believe that. I believe that if a Gergensen,
why is that?
Why what?
Why do you feel that way?
And
what you're saying is there's NHL coaches out there that we've all played for that say, hey, my door's always open, but you really don't feel that the door's open. You feel if you go to talk to the coach a lot of times that it's a burden. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're going to talk to the coach because things, you know, might not be going right, whether the coach isn't happy with you or you're not happy with something, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So when the door's always open and you go in there to air out a grievance, if you have the courage to even step
yep,
in,
that's true.
Like,
that's
you know, true. How many guys just swallow it and don't say anything because
how many guys on your team over all your years walked into Lindy Ruff's room and asked him, you know, when things weren't going well, they wanted some answers, they wanted some guidance. How many guys went to him?
I gotta say that they're out of 23 rostered players, I would say maybe 4 or 5, which is not a very good percentage. It's a good percentage for that coach if that coach doesn't want to deal with players.
And we're not saying that Lindy Ruff didn't want to deal with his players. We're not saying that at all. It's the I just feel like Ralph Krueger is very inviting. He wants to have. It's only, I get the impression he has a glass of tea in the morning and wants to sit down and actually converse about, you know, not just about the game of hockey. He wants to know about, hey, how are things away from the game of hockey?
That stuff matters?
That stuff does matter. And I think it does matter to Ralph Krueger. I think he wants to really figure out the players, the background of the player, the family background. And when you're dealing with these athletes that, you know, he has a better idea of who they are. So when they do come in to converse and talk, he has a better idea of what direction to channel them in.
If you're listening and you want to get in on the conversation, what has impressed you the most with the Sabres' hot start? Give us a call and let us know. The number's 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Not really known for taking a lot of calls, but when you're 8-1-1, we'll listen to anybody, right? 1-8-1. No, our line's busy. our phone's off the hook, if you even have phones off the hook anymore. But give us a call. We're talking about who is benefiting most from Ralph Krueger. Let's talk about the game last night. Slow start. Overall, you know, what did we expect? Did we expect anything different? I mean, did it look like a team coming off a Western Road swing? That first game back at home a couple days after is always a little bit difficult.
Be honest with you, I thought the Sabres were pretty good. I was a little bit concerned when they went down 2-0 because I only think about the past. And when we've been down 2-0 in the past, the last number of years, we're not coming back. That's just the way it was. We didn't have enough offense to be able to get back in the game. What I saw, these are all things new to everybody that's watching the Sabres. We're seeing a Sabres team that has no panic in their game. They kept on pushing. They kept on doing the things right. And they just started to tear the San Jose Sharks down. 2 goals in the second period, which got them back to even. And then you can just see a team that is confident. They're confident in their abilities. They don't change the style going into a third period. there and almost waiting to see what the other team has to bring. The Sabres went out, they played their game, and they pretty much dictated the play. It's very refreshing to watch this team.
Sabres beat the Sharks 4-3 in overtime last night. Jack, 14 points. 14 points in 10 games. I mean,
and to think that he hasn't played his best hockey.
Well, I think last night was probably that was an elite game. I mean, when you need like, your starters,
I want everybody to understand this so people aren't hearing me they're losing their marbles on Twitter or
so
wherever.
So what you're saying is you don't want anything taken out of context?
I don't want it taken out of context. I think Jack's played very well. I think Jack's done a really nice job in the power play. I think Jack has played some really solid defensive minutes. Just that 5-on-5, that 5-on-5 play that we all know Jack is so dynamic. I mean, he's had some games where I think that he would probably say to you that he could be a little bit better in certain areas, but he's had a really nice start to his season. 14 points in 10 games is truly amazing. But,
so have you seen his stats since he's come into the league in his first 4 years, his starts?
Yeah.
10 games?
Yeah.
So his first year in 15-16, he had 3 points. 16-17, 8 points. These are all in the first 10 games of the season. 17-18, 11. 18-19, 9, and this year 14. And six goals this year is the most he's had through 10 games. He talked at the start of the year about wanting to become more of an offensive, or I don't want to say offensive, more of an elite scorer. And he actually, in the post-game show last night, joked about hearing the fans, you know, yelling for him to shoot. And they want him to shoot because he's got a great shot. But I think the other thing, too, that as great as it is to see your superstar scoring, he's an unbelievable passer, too. So,
well, look at the pass he made to
like
Skinner.
He's almost in a dilemma. I'm kidding when I say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great dilemma to have, I'll tell you that. But he has the ability to do both. He is not just a passer. This man has the ability. He's got a great release. He's got a great shot. But he's a big man that skates exceptionally well. And his vision on the ice when he has the puck is as good as anybody
at
in this league.
Top speed with pressure.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, has he had a fantastic start to his season? 14 points in 10 games. It's truly amazing. I still think that there's another level to his game. There is no question about it. I will say that until I honestly feel that Jack is, you know, like is tapped out in his development. And I don't think he's done developing. I think that he still has another level to his game, and I think that we're going to really enjoy watching him continue to mature.
Well, we asked for callers. We got one. We have Mike in Tonawanda. Give us a call, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. I can't log into Twitter right now, but Old Man River, he's available at Craig Revay 52. We have a couple calls coming in here, and our question was, what has impressed you most with the Sabres' hot start? And also, if you want to comment on what we're talking about, who is benefiting most from Ralph Kruger, you can comment on that, too. Let's grab Mike in Tonawanda. Mike, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you very much for your loyalty. What's going on, Mike?
I think, as far as the coaching question, I think it just doesn't go for one player. I think it goes well beyond that. I think it goes to all levels of the game. I think it goes on into the coaches. The scouting department, the whole organization benefits somebody that is able to come in and get pieces of the puzzle together to skate together as a unit. Because last year, if you compare the 10-game win streak to this year, it's totally different on the style of hockey they're playing. They have four lines. They're rolling four lines. They're playing defense. They're playing offense. I think they're playing a lot better game than what they were last year. And I think the coach has a lot of credit to do with that because he has that ability, if you look at his European career, to elevate people to a caliber and play together opposed to playing as individuals. I think it's a culture that he brings in opposed to one person benefiting individually.
You know what, Mike? Not all calls are that smart, man. Nice call. I like everything you just said.
Exceptionally well said. That's I 100% agree with what Mike had said.
Let's grab Nick in Rochester. Nick, you're on the line with Andrew and Craig. What's going on, Nick?
Oh, not much. How you guys doing today?
Sabres are 8-1-1, so you know we're coming in happy.
Absolutely. Well, I think Ralph has a great universal style of coaching. I think he knows the value of teamwork. I think guys like Darlene and Ristolainen, who, you know, obviously are young, and Risto's been going through some, you know, there's been rumors all over the place. And I think guys like that really benefit from Kruger's coaching style. And like the gentleman before me said, you know, there's the rolling four lines. Everybody has the role. You know, us Buffalo teams in the past, we always seem to find a way to lose, and now we're finding ways to win. So I think it seems like every game that the Sabres are playing, they're finding ways to get the job done. They're stumbling here and there, but at the end of the day, they're getting wins. So that's important. I think teams like Boston and the Rangers and the divisional teams coming up, they're going to test in a different way. But hopefully the Sabres can keep rolling.
I would agree with that, too. Keep rolling. You want to comment on that? You just want to keep taking? Well, we have a couple other calls.
I really like what Ralph and how he changes his lines. He has no favorites. He's going to put out certain players in certain situations that we all as fans sit there and say, why is he doing this? Why doesn't he have this guy out? Why doesn't he have that guy out? But you know what? I mean, you have to earn what you're going to get. I just continuously go back and think of Rasmus Dahlin. He's a young player that is still learning to play at the highest level. Not talking about his skill set, not talking about his dynamic in his brain, the hockey IQ. I'm talking about learning to play against the best players in the world. They're the most consistent players. They're the strongest. They're the fastest. They think the quickest. And right now, the one area of Rasmus Dahlin's game that needs to continue to improve, and it will improve just with time, is his defensive play. And it's not when he has the puck in the defensive zone. It's when he doesn't have the puck. He's a little bit soft, sometime a little bit out of position, and that's okay, because he's 19 years old, playing in the best league in the world, and he's going to learn. He is going to learn it. But what I love is Ralph is not just saying, well, he's the number one overall pick. I have to play this kid. I have to give him 24 minutes a night, and we're going to ride him. That's not the way Ralph, I think, does it. There's guys on this team that
there.
Are, yeah, he's going to get there.
He'll be a 23-minute-a-night guy,
absolutely.
I think.
No,
like, what's Hedman playing?
No question
what's
he
Hedman
will be.
Playing?
Probably around 23, 24, yeah. 25 minutes a night, and he will get there. It's just to be patient, but we have other guys that have better skill sets in certain situations, and I really, really like how he's changing
his
lines.
And it's helping
lines.
Him offensively. He has 10 points in 10
We're
games.
We're 10 games. How many lines have changed?
Like permanently or in game?
I'm saying
zero, with the exception
zero.
Of the with
how
the
many
exception
how many
of the
defense
injury.
Units have changed from the start of the year, game one?
Zero.
Zero. How many times did we say that last year where we came in
zero.
And said, well, coach has got the dice out again, rolling new dice, new line mates, this, that, and the other? I mean, I love the structure.
Well, now listen. I mean, yes, you're right. Last year, a year before, this is the first real year in a long time that we've seen some real solid structure, stability, and consistency, I think is the most important word
there
that I'm looking
go.
For when it comes down to the lines and playing, you know, putting guys together. Let's grab some more calls here. Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG, taking your calls if you want to get in on the conversation. And questions basically this: what has impressed you the most with the Sabres' hot start? 8-1-1. Danny in Buffalo, you're on the line with Andrew and Craig. What's going on?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Danny.
I've been a fan of this team for the 50 years that they've been playing. And I'll be honest, I'd never heard of Ralph Kruger, but I think he sat down to lunch with Sean McDermott, and you know, these guys, they got him believing in a system. You know, he's got 23 guys playing as one. You know, everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and it shows. I mean, it really, really shows in what they're doing. And you know, I think the player that's benefited the most. I mean, as far as, cause not an actual teaching play, but Ristolainen. I mean, this guy wanted to quit. This guy wanted to go somewhere else. I mean, he said, I'm done with this, you know, and he said, no, no, just play it out. Let's do this. Let's do this. And look how he's playing. He's like bouncing off of people like he always used to. And you know, he's a force back there again.
Couple assists last
26
night.
Yeah. Minutes.
Thanks for the call, Danny.
26 minutes of ice again.
I want to ask you a question, Riv.
Thing, guys.
Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, it happens to us all the time. don't worry about it. Half the time we say something, it's the secondary thought.
Oh, I know what it was.
There you go.
I don't want to put Housley on a stick or anything, but because of his soft play style, you know, he cost us Ryan O'Reilly. Could you imagine if Ryan O'Reilly was here right now with this team and how what level they could possibly go to with him?
Yeah, you know, Danny, on that note, here's what I say to that. You know, with the team 8-1-1, you gotta quit living in the past. Not you, just that in general. Put that aside and you gotta it's a different year. It's not even last year. His first year out of the team, it's a completely different year, new coach, new mindset. Jack Eichel's a completely different player. So, I mean, you can see a lot of different what ifs. But you said something in there, Danny. Thanks for the call. I want to ask Riv, because Danny said believing in the system, he has this team. What comes first? Does he have this? What comes first? Getting the players to believe in the system or getting the players to believe in themselves?
I think the first thing is
because eventually with one comes the other.
Well, I would say neither. I would say that you need to have Raul Kruger speak with these players and to have those players believe in Ralph. Because if you don't believe in somebody, you're not going to follow him. You're not going to listen to what he says. I think that with how he speaks and the dialogue that he's had with each and every player, been able to sit down with many at dinners, and you know, it's not always, very little's talked about hockey. It's just talking about life in general. I think once you believe in your leader, and the leader here is Ralph Kruger.
Well, I used the word trust on Saturday night, and I feel like these players trust him, and they trust him from the standpoint of what he says, that they'll believe it will work. But also, if it doesn't, and maybe they're responsible for it, he's not going to hang them out to dry. He's not going to come in and absolutely tear them apart in front of the team. I think he'd rather just figure out a solution than point the finger.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that goes a long way with players.
I remember we used to do these fun team bonding things over the years. I've done them in many
paintball,
different teams,
laser
but
tag.
I'm talking about the things where you know where you have your partner and you're partnered up with some guy in the team, and all of a sudden the guy the coach of what's doing the seminar says you got to fall back and that guy'll catch you. And you're sitting there looking at the guy that's trying to catch you, and you're saying, "No, I'm not. I don't trust him.
I don't know him,
right?" You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, we've done things where you know one player has had you know a mask over his head where he's not hasn't been able to do, and then you got some players that are walking into the wall, and you're busting, you know, you're hitting your head off the wall. Everything's a joke, and it's funny. I truly believe that these players are going into the season with bags over their head and they're looking for someone to trust. And I think right now is they feel deep down inside that we can trust this guy, that he's not, that he's going to lead us and do right by us. And I think that's what's being built right now is a group that trusts their coach. The coach is showing trust in players that we all wanted to give away. And I'd be the first one to say that I wanted to give away many because yeah. I watched the team for years yeah. and I'm like, we need change. We need just new players.
Well, they need to change. The players yeah. need to change too. I mean, like these are NHL players, but listen, if you're not going to get the most out of them because either one, they're unhappy or
yeah.
the circumstances or whatever, they need a change too. Both sides need a change, but to figure out how to get the players that we're talking about, yeah. and I think we all kind of know who they are and I think they probably like being cast in the light that we're casting them in, like, you know, like a Sobotka, a Gergensen, a Larson,
Sobotka
an Oposo.
Played almost 15
that
minutes
Larson
last
line,
night.
That Larson line has been the most consistent, hardest working line on this team. We are a couple minutes late for break, but I want to get another call, but before we go, we have wireless mics. Do you want to stand up and do the trust fall? You fall back, and I'll catch you.
No chance.
What if I fall? Will you catch me?
No.
You don't think you could catch me?
Or no,
you don't
want to
catch
heavy.
Me? Which one is it?
You're too heavy.
Trust. I trust that you're strong enough to catch me.
I wouldn't
Let's
trust
do it. Let's
myself.
Stand up and do it right now. We can do it right here. JJ, can we do that? Do a quick fall
off? That is ridiculous.
Why? People on TV would love it, and everyone on the radio would absolutely go and tune in to see it at some point. We could tweet it out. Stand up, and I'll catch you. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting. Jay in Rochester, you're up.
Morning.
Jay, hey, what's going on, Jay?
For taking my call. I think the beneficiaries of Ralph Krueger's style is everyone, starting at the top with an ownership that doesn't meddle in things, a general manager that hired the right person, that trusts this gentleman, and he's not the old school of shouting and pointing fingers, as you said earlier on. And one of the earlier callers kind of touched on everything that the style, everything, and the whole thing. I'm not in a position right now to talk too much longer because my cell phone is dying, but I watch you guys every day, and you're a plus to my day, and thank you for what you do.
All right, Jay, you're very, very welcome, and it's not your cell phone dying. Your boss is coming down the hall. We know it. Thanks for the call. River, are we doing the fall?
We're not doing the fall.
Riv's got a headache today. All right, we'll be right back. Instigators, you know what's coming up next?
I don't.
You don't? Why would you? It's 10 things we think we learned from the first 10 games. No. And Riv gave 5 opinions, and he doesn't remember doing it. All right, we'll be right back. Instigators, Craig Gervais, Andrew Peters, WGR 550 and MSG.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, Sabres 10 games in. And if you told me before the first game that they would be 8-1-1.
Good one. You're lying.
What? That I would believe it? I didn't say that
not
I would have believed it.
Years,
not
I
in a
believed.
Million years.
Not in a million years. I would have been happy with 500.
5-5.
Maybe a 6-4 would have been really nice. But listen, I mean, the team has looked really nice. What I love about this team so much is it's showing areas of improvement from the year before and the years before that. The goal scoring on this team has been fantastic. I think... it has to be one of the top teams in the league goals for. We're actually third right now in goals for. Defensively, this team has done a really nice job. I love the defense core. I really do. I think the puck moving ability and just the defensive awareness playing in our zone, we've done a really, really nice job. There's a lot to like about this hockey team.
Go on.
That we have in our goaltending right now.
Don't spoil our segment.
We could just keep going on and on. All right.
Let's get into the segment. So the segment, 10 games in, 10 things that we've learned, 10 things we think we've learned about this team. Do the first 10 games. Number one, I'll go first. And this is pretty much self-explanatory. Jeff Skinner can score without Jack Eichel. I think that in itself speaks volumes. Off to a hot start on the Johansson line with Sobotka. And, Sobotka took a lot of
heat. Well, you know what? I mean, he is one guy that I don't think there's been enough spoken about Jeff Skinner. I was really nervous for him. And I'll tell you why. When you sign a big whopper of a contract like that, deservingly with what he's done in his career. He had a fantastic year last year for the Sabres. But when you now all of a sudden you sign that big contract, you always want to try and justify it. It's human nature. You go out. I know these players. They want to try and justify that contract. And now you're going to tell me that you're not going to put me with the best player on the team and Jack Eichel, who's one of the best passers in the National Hockey League. That there made me a little bit nervous for Jeff Skinner, because I truly want to see this young man have success, because he's just got a fantastic attitude. He's the guy that you want in your locker room. And for him to have 6 goals in the first 10 games, that has really solidified that second line. It's amazing. So happy for Skinner.
All right, that was my first. We each did 5. You want to say yours? Or do you want me to just rifle them off here for you?
Well, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to speak for you. I feel like I do a lot of that. Why don't you go ahead there, Riv? B block, B2.
A consistent defensive structure can win hockey games. And I believe that, you know, kudos to Ralph Krueger, who's putting the right guys on the ice at the right times. And yes, there was a lot of eyebrows raised when, you know, Rasmus Dahlin in one of those games, just one, but one of those games, didn't play the last 8 minutes of the game. And people, you know, are questioning Ralph's motives and what he's trying to do. And listen, I mean, I think it's just absolutely fantastic. Rasmus Dahlin is a young defenseman. He's learning. He's getting better every single game and every single day. There's a lot for him. He's like a sponge. He's taking everything in. But if there's one part of his game that he really needs to improve and key on, especially for when you're
you said the same thing about Jack 4 years ago, and it has you came on our show
and people didn't like it,
and they didn't like it. And I remember people were tweeting Craig Revay spitting fire about Jack Eichel and you know the offensive skills and everything there, and the defensive play has come a long, long way since then.
I would love for people to go back. The 3 or 4 years ago that we were all sitting here and watching an 18-year-old Jack Eichel play defense was painful. It was absolutely painful. He is not a player that had ever had to play defense. He's never had to play defense, Jack Eichel. When he was young, he was so dominant. He was so good that he had the puck all the time, and he was always going on the offensive game. Well, now he got thrown in to the best league in the world against the biggest, strongest players, and Jack had to learn. And it took him a couple years before he started to really learn that part of a game. But right now, what you're seeing from Jack Eichel, we're talking a completely different player from what he is now at 22 to what he was when he was 18. He's really turned into a fantastic player, two-way.
10 things we think we've learned from the first 10 games. First one was Skinner can score without Jack. Riv just mentioned a consistent defensive structure can win hockey games. My second one, I'll say, and the third one would be the team is confident playing in front of both goaltenders. And I think what I loved was it's easy for a coach to deviate from a plan if a goaltender's, you know, hot. You know, Carter Hutton gets a shutout, and then they start Linus Ullmark in Anaheim, come back with Hutton in L.A., he gets a shutout, and then you roll Ullmark in San Jose. And I think he's forcing his team to trust both goaltenders and not show that there's any kind of fear or worry when, you know, putting anyone in the net. So that's where I stand with that. And I love it. I think it shows with the way the team plays in front of him. I say I mean them. Both of them, not him. But if you care to comment on that or you want to move on.
The goaltenders, I think, have been real strong. I think Carter Hutton in particular looks like he is a very, very confident man. He's very confident in his abilities. I think he's confident with the players that are in front of him. I think he's confident in the structure in which those players are playing. Therefore, you have a calm, cool, collected goaltender that really likes what he sees in front of him. This is a really good sign for the Sabres.
All right, your next one here, number two.
Every line has the ability to score, and this has been fantastic because you know there's been games where we've needed that big goal, and you know Victor Olofsson scores a goal. I think it was against Columbus on the power play with a couple minutes left, and we went into overtime, and it's. we're getting the output from all the guys. You know, Jeff Skinner's line's putting up goals, and Marcus Johansson, and then you have Casey Mittelstadt and Sheary on the road trip. That, you know, those last two games in LA and San Jose were massive for this team, getting that scoring from that line. And then you have the Gergensen, Larson, Apostle line that is just, they've been extremely tough to play against, and scoring some timely goals themselves to just add to the depth of the scoring on this hockey team.
And that's a nice little segue into my next thing we think we've learned from the team in the first 10 games. That's what we're talking about here. We're on number 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is number 5. The Larson line will continue to help this team win, and doesn't necessarily have to be on the scoreboard. These guys are killing penalties. They're hard to play against. They're defensively responsible. They're hard on forechecks. They're finishing checks. I feel like we're seeing three completely different players. Larson's a different player. I think he struggled with an identity for a couple years, trying to figure out if he was going to be a second or third line guy. I don't mean to number lines. I'm not numbering lines. I'm just saying. And I think Gergensen, same thing, had that year where he had 15 goals, and I think expectations were that he would be a 25 goal guy. And I think accepting a I don't want to say a lesser role, but a different role,
yep,
is hard for players. And they were forced to do it. Kyle Okposo has been forced. Do you think Kyle Okposo expected to be in this role when he signed that contract?
No.
But he's embracing it. And he's embracing it. Not only is he embracing it.
He's embracing it because I think he enjoys it.
I think he's loving playing with
the
these
line
two guys
that he's playing with. Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
I really believe that. Your next one?
What I had said for my next one is, while not mature yet, the Sabres' young talent has great upside. And what I mean by that is, you know, you don't have to go any further than Rasmus Dahlin, and we can leave it at that. His skill set is completely off the chart. His offensive abilities are going to be undeniable throughout his career, but he has upside in understanding how to play away from the puck in his defensive zone, in the neutral zone, to identify danger, and these are just things that come with time. And he's got a fantastic upside. Casey Mittelstadt, you can really see in his game. I just find him faster. I don't know about you, but I find him faster, more confident. He's now in a situation where he's behind two guys in Johansson and Eichel, where he can slot in nicely in the rotation. With not a whole lot of pressure on him, and he can just go out and play and mature and get better. And his skill set and his mind are really fantastic. And I think that just he's going to get better every game. And the last one I'm going to say in particular, who I think is incredible, is Joakim Harju. And I'll tell you right now, there is not enough said about this young man in the way that he plays the game. He is a pleasure to watch as a former defenseman, and how he skates, his awareness on the ice, his puck moving ability. He's got physicality to him. He's got offensive up flair. He's got offensive upside in his game. He is going to be an absolute gem.
You mentioned Mittelstadt in there. His play in overtime last night, you know, reading those players changing and firing it down the ice to create the 2-on-1. I mean, that was a heads-up play. I mean, that's a heads-up play. Yep. We'll talk to Dan Dunleavy at 11, who had the pleasure of calling that. We'll ask him if he saw that play developing. We'll ask Dan, did you see that play developing? Because he has like the Sega view from up top, right? Like, isn't that the view you would love to have if you were a player, is the aerial view? You know, you can just see everything. But we got to go to break, so we ran out of time here. We'll finish this off a little bit later. And when we come back, did you hear Logan Couture's comments after that change?
Yes, I did.
After the game, some players have been calling out their teammates, and we'll talk about that. It happened right here at the KeyBank Center last night, so got to talk about it. Involved the Sabres. Logan Couture's comments about selfish players and how they can figure that out and fix it. Instigators coming back. Craig Revay and Andrew Peters. Dan Dunleavy at 11.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Just in third period,
I thought we
we battled back in the third. I thought after we gave up the goal, right off that first shift, I thought we had a pretty good 10-15 minute span and got rewarded with a goal to get a point out of that one. So I'll take it. Just an inexcusable change. Two guys that stayed out too long, looking for offense. It's a play, or it's a selfish play, and that doesn't need to be part of this team. So we'll figure that out.
Woo! Couture the Shark and LeBanc and Timo Meier are the bait in that particular case. He's talking about the two players that stayed out a little bit long. It's been a tough week for comments. Matthews had some accountability comments last night. Jason Zucker had to apologize for ripping on the coach. I mean, yeah. It's been interesting.
Well, some fiery guys, and it's usually when things aren't going well is when you get these comments. You know, you have a Zucker in Minnesota that's going through some tough times there with that hockey team, and they need a change, but there's certain things that you just need to keep to yourself or keep within the closed doors. They're all learning experience. They all make professional athletes. They all make mistakes.
Your new captain is a little overboard for him. I mean, he hasn't been in this situation before. I don't feel like San Jose's ever gotten off to this slow of a start.
Yeah, but I don't think San Jose is the same team as what they've been in the last number of years.
You think he's starting to feel that? He doesn't want to be the captain of a team that's going the other way, does he?
There's certainly some frustration in his voice in Couture, but there's nothing wrong, or I don't think there's any problem with what was said, except for the last part.
The last part,
meaning we don't need this on our team. We don't need that.
We'll figure that out. Ship him out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something where, listen, I mean, you have to discuss this. They're young players. Like LeBanc and Meier are young players. They need to be told. They need to have an understanding their roles on the team, this, that, and the other. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with telling those guys after the game. But, that was a little much.
The play that he is talking about was the overtime goal that Casey Mittelstadt, beautiful read, just turns up the ice. Sniffs a line change, and who was it coming across? It was Risto.
Yep.
Risto firing across
Risto
the ice.
In there, yep.
It was a thing of beauty. And the man who called that play, Dan Dunleavy, is going to join us at 11. Don't forget, Jeremy Roenick will join us tomorrow. Elliot Friedman will also be on tomorrow, so a full-packed, fun show. And when we come back, Dan Dunleavy will join the Instigators, and we'll chat about the road trip coming up. They have two games on the road. It's Rangers and Detroit. Both very winnable games. I mean, Riv said it perfectly. We'll tell you what he said when he came back about every game that they play now. Right here on the Instigators.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.